This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton, and here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Today's special guest is the typical cliche Hollywood success story. He graduated from medical school, worked as a doctor while moonlighting as a comedian until the call of showbiz was too great, and then he became a full-time entertainer. He's appeared in the Hangover movies, the sitcom Community, and now he's a panelist on the Fox reality shows The Masked Singer and The Masked Dancer. Ken Jeong, hello!
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you guys for having me. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Hey, so, you know, I know that in high school, you came in second in a all-male beauty pageant, which we will address in a moment, impressing the judges partially because you were doing a bit of a Hulk Hogan flex.
It was called the Mr. Buccaneer pageant, and It was this mock male beauty pageant that was all tongue in cheek, and I was always nerdy in high school, but I was a popular nerd. I mean, I don't think it's any different than kind of my appeal right now. It's pretty consistent. But I really never I never outside of music, I play piano and violin, and I was known to be academically sound, and I was about to go to Duke University, but and that one is kind of where I first kind of discovered, you know, my own comedy bug, where, you know, we had a swimsuit competition and I was a little bit heavier than I am now, and, you know, I would posing like Arnold Schwarzenegger and, you know, just doing all these things, and I got a standing O, and then I sang. It was crazy. It was like my Napoleon Dynamite moment. And I ended up singing a Lionel Richie song, The Commodores, Three Times a Lady on piano. And that got another standing O. So it was like a lot of standing O's that night for Ken Jeong at the Mr. Buccaneer pageant, you know, in the late 80s.
Yeah, it was
very surreal. And it did inform me when I went to Duke later on. I took an acting class, an intro to acting class, a theater class my sophomore year. And I just loved it. I was pre-med, and I just thought I'll be a doctor or be a scientist. And then I just discovered that I had an aptitude for performing. I thought that this would be kind of like a side story I could tell my kids, like, you know, I was the second chorus member of Kiss Me Kate back in the day. You know, I thought I'd be that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of stole the scenes in the chorus in my day. You know, I thought I'd be that guy, you know, while I'm in a biology lab or in a medical practice, and which I thought that was fine. But I do remember even the theater school saying, you know, I think you can do both. And then, I told them, yeah, they were really like, wow, we really think you could do Duke Drama and be a pre-med. And I told them, I'm not that smart. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. I appreciate the confidence.
So you started stand-up in Raleigh while you were attending school, and was it what your early sets at Charlie Goodnight's? That's a good club.
Yeah, maybe, who knows? Maybe I met you there. Like, well, I'm one of the locals. Oh my god, that's a local trying to get in on my stage time. You know.
But this is while you are in school. Did people that knew that you were pursuing stand up and science, were they coming to your shows?
Yeah, I would. I would actually beg a lot of my friends from high school and college to come because, I just need 10 people there. Just laugh at it. And I would just tell them, I literally would just laugh at everything. I don't care if you think I'm funny or not. I don't care. Just laugh at everything, please.
And then when you move to LA, you're practicing medicine and you're still doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Are your patients coming to see you?
That's awkward.
Look, I'll give you that MRI, but just come to the laugh factory,
yeah,
please.
I need 10
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I'll give you that MRI. I mean, look, I'll expedite the X-ray, but just look. I got this really sweet bit at the Laugh Factory workshop, and I'm trying to get on Premium Blend. No, you're not going to come.
Right, and you credit your wife with encouraging you to go for full force into an acting and entertainment career?
My wife literally is a reason. She is literally the reason for my success.
That's very sweet.
And she picked a winner, as it turns out, because you've done tons of movies. You were in the NBC series Community. You had your own show for two seasons called Dr. Ken. Now you're a panelist on the competition series that is so fun, The Masked Singer, and the new one, The Masked Dancer. Now, okay, so these shows feature celebrities singing or dancing to songs while wearing head-to-toe costumes and face masks that conceal their identities. And you, as the judge, you are judging who is the best at that combination of things, right?
I still don't know the rules of the game. That's amazing. I think this thing can actually help me with subsequent seasons of both shows. What else do I need to do?
But this show is based on a series that started in South Korea, and you actually performed South Korean version of The Masked Singer. You performed "Creep" by Radiohead. Interesting choice.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
I mean, did it give you appreciation for what these celebrities go through when they are doing this?
It did. It really did. Early on, I was promoting the American version, and unbeknownst to anyone, I flew out in secret to Korea, and I stayed in my hotel room for all 3 days and had to wear a mask to leave my hotel room and go via car to the studio, and then stayed in what basically would look like a college dorm room from like 8 hours and just really stress out about glamour. This is like stressing out about my voice, and because I know I'm not a professional singer, I don't sing. And then also being in a mask where you have limited visibility, it was very stressful. And I definitely have a deep appreciation for every contestant that goes on these shows. And it's so much easier to be a panelist and have fun and set the tone of the show. But it's another thing to be a contestant. And it's incredibly hard. And I think that's why there's a lot of positive energy in the feedback of the judges.
And I think the new version, The Masked Dancer, is actually infinitely harder. Would you say that?
It is much harder. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's harder. I mean, just thank God for Paula Abdul. You know, for a lot of reasons. If it wasn't for Paula, I don't know if we would be able to have a show, you know, because she really helps lead us into kind of dissecting where to go and how to kind of follow her kind of algorithm of thought in terms of dance breakdown. Is this someone who's professional? Is this an actor who, you know, maybe has a background in dance? Or is this someone who's a TV personality that's having fun.
That's trying to dance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know?
That would be my competition show.
That would be my, yeah, that would be exactly.
Are you trying to dance?
Myself included.
So, you know, Ken, before the show, when we asked you, you know, what are you into? What kind of things would you like a game about? You told us that you love rock bands from the 90s.
Yeah, very specific.
I love that. And this game is called Other 90s.
Okay. Yeah, we changed the lyrics to classic 90s songs to make them about things that happened in the 90s, but of some other century. So
That's right. So it could happen 1890s, 1790s, 1690s, all of the 90s.
I should have been specific in my rider. I meant 1990s. Oh my goodness.
So all you have to do is tell me what I'm singing about, or you can tell me the artist that I'm parodying and you will get a point. But the chances are we'll give you a point anyway, so don't worry.
Okay, and there's no extra worries. Credit if you want to guess the century as well, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Extra credit for the century. Okay,
this is the best response to a game we've ever had, Ken.
I love it. Oh my goodness. So smart. So good.
Okay, here we go. Here's your first one.
I'm a detective. I work for Scotland Yard. Deductive reasoning and logic, it's not hard. It's something elementary, and in the end, I'm right. Poor Watson, he just isn't quite as
okay. That is Green Day as Good Riddance. And
that's right.
You are singing about Sherlock Holmes. And I believe it is would be the 1890s.
Yeah, yes, you got them all. Absolutely
you got
correct.
All of the possible points. All of them.
I want the mixtape of this. Really funny.
This is going very well so far.
Oh my goodness. I haven't laughed this hard in a while. This is really funny, man. This is so good.
I'm very happy to hear that. That's what we strive for. Okay, here's another one. The bowl is empty. The valve is working, yay. The water carried all of my poop away.
Oh man. Okay, that is Hole. And
it is.
Singing about about sewage and maybe the invention of the toilet, or
yeah, that is correct.
Or a flushing yeah. toilet or something.
Yep. Technically where the first description of a flush toilet. Yes, that's right.
And I'll try to guess, would it be, is it the 1790s? I'm just going by century, by process of elimination. I don't even know.
No, I wouldn't know this either. It's actually the 1590s. Was
really?
The first. Yeah. I'm not
really?
Sure. I'm not so sure that flush toilets were fully, deployed.
1590s, but, though.
The
that's...
first description of a flushing toilet in the 1590s.
Right. Yeah, I did not know that. And, so,
well, I think we
not
all
a 90s reference, but an 80s Johnny Carson reference.
We'll take it.
It's just that the toilet hasn't changed enough in 400 years, I guess, that we're like, really?
Guess, yeah.
Right? That's like part of it. You're like, really? 1590s?
Is that old?
Still
the same.
I was expecting
more. Especially those Delta brands. Am I right, guys? They haven't
yeah.
changed a bit.
Oh, boy.
They're like not refreshing in their sameness. Okay, great. All right. Please play anything, please.
Yeah. This is so good. Here it comes. With the lights out, sleep's desired. But the kids say they're not tired. Now, how I need them, they get sleepy as I read them. Sleeping Beauty, pushing booties, Bluebird fella, Cinderella. Yeah.
Okay, that. Oh my God, it's so good. Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit, and talking uh-huh. about. Gosh, this is. I really don't know. It's a.
Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard.
Oh, just all like these... Mother, I mean.
Yes, say
mother,
that. Say...
Just Mother Goose stuff?
Yes.
Mother Goose okay. stories, that yeah. is correct.
Man, I haven't even thought of the word Mother Goose.
Nor did
like,
I.
Like, in decades. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That is genius.
Do you want to make a guess as to the century?
Oh, yes.
Which 90s it was? It was not 1990s.
Yeah.
Predated 1990s.
Didn't it premiere after The Nanny?
yes, right.
But was it? Was it? I know.
I wouldn't know this for sure.
I'm gonna say 1790s. I don't know.
You're very close. It was the 1690s.
1690s. Wow, mm-hmm. That's been a wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's yep. so that is
not that as is, old as the flush toilet, but almost.
Not. That's the only thing I'm gonna think about after this interview. You know, honey, I'll just gonna talk to my kids. You know, I'll be like Cliff Clavin, another 90s reference of cheers. Yeah. Little known fact he is that the Mother Goose stories are, you know, not as old as the toilet. So anyway.
What are you talking about, Dad?
What are you talking about, Dad? Are you talking about NPR Ask Me Another again? Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Yet to hear from Father Goose. I'm just pointing that out. Yet to hear.
Good point.
Yet
good
to
point.
Hear.
Not around. Went out for cigarettes and never came back.
Exactly. Where are you?
All right, here's another one. You ready?
Yeah,
you ready,
please.
Cam?
Yes.
Smoky brown booze in my glass today. Single malt hooch in my glass today.
There you go. It's come full circle. It really has.
Wow. Okay, that's Pearl Jam. That's Jeremy. Which
that's
is
right.
Brilliant. Talking about... alcohol or prohibition? I don't know.
Smoky brown booze.
Smoky brown.
Looking for a specific kind of alcohol.
Oh,
the best is single malt. Many will tell you.
I'm more of a Heineken light guy myself.
Okay, got it.
And
got it.
It's like
I hear you.
You know, So
we were looking for whiskey, but we'll accept Heineken Light.
Yeah, I only accept Heineken Light for my endorsement agent. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, no, this was the first whiskey production, first evidence of Scotch whiskey production. Was in this 90s. Do you want to make a guess as to the century?
I'm going to tell you this. It predates the toilet.
Predates the toilet, that's for sure.
Really? 1490s?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. On the timeline, it's whiskey, toilets, Mother Goose. All right, here's the very last one. Here we go. That's me with my colleagues from Europe and Russia here in low Earth orbit. Trying to research stuff, and I just hope that I can do it. Things float away from me. We drink recycled pee.
Okay, this is REM losing my religion.
That's
and
right.
Astronaut in space. I don't know. I mean, it's uh-huh. just
yep.
it's just
yes, and the. And the International Space Station was actually launched in what century do you think?
Okay, it's got
1990s. 1990s. Yes,
that's right. That's right.
Oh my goodness! This is kudos to you guys. This is honestly the best hybrid of 90s songs and centuries 90s guesswork I've ever heard in my life.
That's
and I
very
mean
nice
that
to
with
hear.
All my heart.
Big props to our writers, and specifically
definitely.
Karen Lurie, who wrote this game.
Oh my
and
goodness.
A lot of our music parodies to great staff, and obviously this one went over very well. So
this makes me so happy. You have
yeah,
no
that's
idea.
Wonderful.
That's
thank
amazing.
You. Can you put a mask on it, and then we can just make $1 million?
I'm ready. Anytime.
Just put a mask on this, guys. Mask me another. That's
mask
how we do
another.
This, guys.
Oh,
it writes
wow.
itself.
Thank you. Oh, this is such a pleasure. Ken Jeong is a panelist on the series The Masked Dancer. Thank you just so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you both. Just, wow, this has made my day.
You're very welcome. And you have made ours. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. The Masked Dancer airs Wednesdays on Fox. And that's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Julia Melfi and senior writers Eric Feinstein, Andrew Kane, and Karen Lurie, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Farber, Rimmel Wood, and our intern Sophie Hernandez-Simeonithis. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our bosses' bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grundman. Thanks to our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR.